student debt is rising, both student loans, which we all know the cost of education is going up and up and up, and these are kind of almost even right now old numbers, but just shows you that as we keep going, student loans are going up, student revolving debt, because it's getting harder and harder to live day to day, so that debt, that credit card debt is going up. And installment debts too, regular loans, people that live off campus that may be getting into auto loans that need those kind of things more. There we go. Okay, so what is credit? Just a little bit. Credit is really, what do y'all think? Permission to
borrow?
Buy now and pay for it later. And typically, the reason I put pay later so big is because that interest rate is what makes it so much. You pay and pay and pay. Because typically the way they do the payments on your credit cards is almost all of it is going to interest. Very, very little of it is actually hitting that principal amount. And so you end up paying money on the interest rate over and over again. It just keeps getting rolled in there. So if you're paying the minimums, you're paying a lot of interest and you're not really paying on the actual loan that you took out. So that's what makes it. And this right here is going to show you the difference. $1,000 at 17% interest, if you pay the minimum payment of $15 a month, they're going to tell you that's what you owe. It's going to take you over 17 years to pay it. You're paying them back over $3,000. Remember, you only borrowed $1,000, but you're paying them back over $3,000. They're getting double their money plus. If you only add $5 a month to that minimum payment, it brings it down to 7 years and 4 months, and you're paying back a total of $1,750. Now, we were talking a little while ago about whether you need a credit card or not. You know, I would encourage everybody to put money and save towards, you're paying it out installment anyway. Installment, save towards the things you want. Get interest on your savings account so you're making money rather than paying them anything. So that's what I try to encourage people to do. So you don't have to have a credit card. Make yourself your own credit or your own loan shark. Develop a savings account that you loan the money from yourself and then you pay back yourself with interest so that you actually keep building that amount, that savings plan that you have for yourself to borrow from when you want something. Okay. Credit bureaus. A lot of people think that credit bureaus are part of the government. This is the government agency that's doing something, that's collecting information on us. They are not. Credit bureaus are there to make money. They collect information and sell reports. Now, when they sell those reports, they're not seeing a credit report like you. When you ask for your credit report, they don't see all that information. They basically see that you meet a certain criteria. One of the typical things I use as an example, I teach classes for people who are filing bankruptcy. When they come to my class, by the time they get there, they're getting hit with offers for car loans, credit cards, but they're very, very high interest rate. Well, there are certain predatory lenders who have gone to the credit bureaus and said, give me a list of all the people who meet a certain criteria or have filed bankruptcy in the last 60 days. And then they start hitting them with those offers when they think they don't have any other way to get those types of things. Another example, my daughter turned 18. Within a week, she was getting credit card offers. It's because those predatory lenders went out there and said, give me a list of all of the people who turned 18 in the last month. So that's where they're getting that. The bureaus that collect that information, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, there's three major ones. And all these bureaus are collecting this information. And a while back, the government said, you're collecting information on these people. You need to give them a way to get that information back. Let them see what it is you're actually collecting. Come on in, find a place.
Okay.
So these three bureaus got together with the government, and finally they said, okay, we'll let them get one free credit report from each one of us every 12 months. So that's the free credit report you hear about. Anybody pulled their free credit reports? Did you get it from all three at the same time when you got it? Okay. They don't all three have the same information, so you need to get it from all three at the same time, the first time you do it, just so you get that full picture. Then the next year you can spread them out, and that helps you look for identity theft. But that's where that came from. This is what this slide's talking about. The place that you want to go to get that is www.annualcreditreport.com. If you go to freecreditreport.com, that is Experian's site. They got jumped the gun and got in there and got that nice little moniker for their website. And that's actually, they're trying to get you to sign up for their alert system. So when you go to freecreditreport.com, you're going to be asked for your credit card number. You don't want to do that. Go to annualcreditreport.com, and that's where you'll get your free one. Make sure you do that. That helps watch for identity theft. When you get that report, there's probably going to be some errors on there. My daughter, she went out, she was going to go get on her own phone. She wanted to get off mom and dad. She was going to be a big girl. She was going to go do that. She just turned 18. And they said, no, you've got bad credit. Well, she never had any credit in her life. Well, guess what? Somebody had put something, either coded something wrong, or somebody actually stole her identity, and she had a $949 charge against her name that would have gone on it when she was about 15. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when you get the report, when she got her report, there's instructions on how to dispute it. You follow the instructions that come with the report, you dispute it. They have 30 days to review it. During that 30 days, it comes off the report. If they find that it's actually yours, or the company that reported it says, no, I have information that says that person, this is really a good charge, this is really theirs, then it goes back on your report if they find justification. If they don't, it stays off forever. So that's one of the ways you start getting your credit cleaned up. So even if you've never had a credit card, there may be some things on there that you need to look at and you need to have cleaned up. So make sure that you do that. Get your report so that you can see what's there, and then have those errors cleaned off. Okay. I'm going to run through these real quick, and then I'm going to open it up for questions. Okay. People talk about the score. The credit score, it's really what... There was a company called Fair Isaac Incorporation, and they came up with a formula that looked at all that data that those bureaus are collecting, and it put a number to it. And it's really just a snapshot in time. You're doing things every day that affects your credit score and your credit report. This is just a snapshot in time when you pull it, and really all the score is going to do is reflect what's happening on your report. If your report looks good, your score looks good. And so basically what you want to do is really concentrate on making sure your report's as clean as it can be, and keep doing the things that keep your report looking good, mainly paying your bills on time, every time. This is talking about Fair Isaac. Okay, let me see. This is what affects your score. These are just a little simple pie chart. There's probably more things that go into it than this, but it's basically this. 35% of your score is how you pay your bills. Are you ever late? Do you ever short pay? Do you ever not pay? Those are things that affect 35% of your score, and it's definitely something that you have control over. So some things you can do something about. Make sure you pay all of them on time. Don't ever be late. If you don't get the bill, it doesn't matter. If you know you owe somebody money, you better be picking up the phone and figuring out how you're going to get that paid so you're not late. Or else it's going to affect not only your score, but the interest rates you're going to pay on all your other credit cards. If you have credit cards and you don't pay on one, all the others right now can go up. But that's going to change in 2010. There's been a new law that's come into effect that they can't do that anymore, but right now they're doing it just as much as they possibly can to get the scores up as high as they can before that goes into effect. So,
what is FICO's doing?
Fair Isaac Incorporation. Yeah, I kind of zipped past that real quick. I'm sorry. 30% is the amount you owe. Basically, what that's looking at is your credit line versus what you owe. So if you had five credit cards And it's really looking at how extended you are. But if you had five credit cards and they all had $2,000 worth of credit line on them, then you have a total of $10,000 worth of credit line. You don't want to have any more than 30% of that $10,000 that you actually have extended. So another $3,000 is all you need to have as far as what you have, what you owe any of those credit cards. So if you think of that combined, if you have $10,000 worth of credit line, you're going to keep it below $3,000, what you actually owe. A lot of people get sucked in and say, oh, I got $10,000 worth of credit. I can just go out, spend, spend, spend. They spend to the max. Well, that's just cratering their credit score. Length of history is another thing. For me, the best way for me to explain that, when I first got out of college, I got a Sears credit card that turned into a Sears MasterCard. I've had that card ever since I got out of college, so I've had it a long time. I've always paid it very well. So that's a good 15%. Now, if I'd had it that long and I'd always short paid or slow paid or not, that would be a bad 15% for me. So it can either hurt or help you depending on how you pay that bill. Okay? That's what that's looking at. 10%. How many of you have ever been sucked into, get this free t-shirt by just signing up for the credit card, or you can get 10% off of your purchases today if you sign up for this credit card? Every time you sign up to open a new card, 10%, that 10% is getting hit. Especially if you do a whole bunch of them in a short period. Let's say it's Christmas and you're going to all these different stores and they all make you that same offer and you sign up for every one of them, that's what's going to get hit. If you are doing a large purchase, however, let's say you're shopping for a car and you want to go to several different dealerships and you get the best price, you can do that in a 14-day period, and it'll be one footprint or one inquiry. Yes.
What if, you go to a store and they have you sign up for their store credit card?
Mm-hmm. That's an inquiry.
Even if they don't approve you for the card?
Yes, because they're actually looking at your score so they can make that determination. So when they go and request, when they inquire, that's what's called an inquiry. When they inquire against your credit history and they see the information that comes back, then that's what creates that footprint. So the fact that you signed and you said that they can go out and pull that creates that inquiry.
With the cars, is the same with mortgages? If you're shopping a mortgage,
yes,
you have 14 days?
Mm-hmm. In that 14 days, yes. Yeah, that will create the one footprint. The big ticket items like that. Somebody said something about furniture. I'm not sure that would be it, because that may not be large enough. But it's really just if you're shopping for a mortgage, if you're shopping for a car, something like that. Types of credit and uses, basically, can you only get a loan that is secured by some collateral? Maybe your credit's not good enough for you to get a loan that is, say, with a credit card, or maybe you can only get credit cards because right now you're a student. And you know, do you only carry one type of credit in use? Fixed loans like you get from a bank for a car or a home, or maybe you go out and buy some furniture or something like that. That's a fixed loan with a fixed payback. Can you get that type as well as the installment loans? That's what that's looking at. Credit cards consist of open-ended credit, no specific time limit to pay them off. But as we've seen, the longer you take, the more you're going to actually be paying them back. Making only the minimum payments can be very dangerous, like we talked about. It's better if you limit yourself to a few credit cards and manage your balances. We usually say not more than three. One, carry only one. Maybe have one more for an emergency, but that should be what you keep yourself to. Having 15 credit cards that you carry in your wallet is a huge red flag that you could very much get into serious problems. You do not want to get into that. I've seen some people carry them around. It's like it's a badge of honor to have that many credit cards, and I'm sorry, it's not. It's setting yourself up for a fall. The dues, Use a credit card with no annual fee if you can find one, and low interest rates. I don't have it in the slides here, but a good place to go out and look at credit cards is bankrate.com. They have a website area that you can look at all the credit cards that do business in Texas, and they will say this credit card has this fee, it gives you this back, it doesn't say this is the best credit card, it just says what the different cards do. So that's a good place to go out and look. When you sign up for a credit card, before you do, make sure you read all the fine print. Know what all the hidden fees are, because typically there are some hidden fees down there in the fine print. And always pay all the minimums every month, more than the minimum. Use a debit card versus a credit card. That will help you stay out of trouble. Credit cards are so easy to get in trouble. Debit card, that's being taken out right away. You know you've got to have the money to cover that, because it's coming out right away. So that's why that one. And the biggest thing is pay all your bills on time, every time. The don'ts, don't use them for cash advances to yourself. Don't use them to pay for the basics. Just think about it. If you use your credit card to pay for a night out, that night out is here and gone, and then you're still paying, and you're paying, and you're paying. And it just does not make sense to pay for something that's fleeting like that. If you're paying for something that you need today, and it's something that's going to keep giving you some payback, putting that on a card and paying it out a little bit may be something that you want to do, but you don't want to charge anymore. Hopefully then you can pay off in a month, not more than three. So if you're looking at something that you want to buy and you can't pay it off in 3 months, you need to back up and you need to save some money towards that purchase rather than putting it on a card. And don't let those banks increase your credit limits. Do you know why? Any idea? That's it. You're gonna get encouraged to spend. Every time they go up, you're gonna get encouraged to spend more. Because remember, even if you're holding yourself to that 30%, the more they increase it, and you can actually spend more and still be under that 30%, but can you really pay for it? Maybe not. Have you increased in the amount that you make? Probably not. They just increased your limit. So you're being encouraged to go outside what you can actually afford. So you do hold the key to your financial future. And with that, we'll just open it up for some questions. Yes.
So if you mess up in one of those areas, like having too many credit cards or not paying a bill on time, if your credit score is messed up, how do you fix it again?
Okay. Anna, I didn't introduce Anna. I'm going to back up just a minute. She's one of our counselors. I think I'll let Anna handle that one.
Time. Really, it takes time. There's no quick fix for fixing the credit score. But like Anna said, 35% of the score is based on if you pay on time. So just, you know, every month it's going to gradually build itself back up, but it is going to take a little bit of time.
The score actually looks at a rolling 24 months is what the score looks at. Now, it's still going to be on your history. So if you go for a loan, they may look at the score and say, oh, you look really good on your score, but then they pull it and look at the history and they go, oh, but you got this here and you got that there. What was going on? So they may start really asking some questions. It may make it hard. If it hasn't been way in the past, it may make it hard for you at first. But it time. If you start now and you start doing everything right, it's going to get better, but it's going to take some time.
The other thing you can do, I mean, first of all, you're young, so that's in your favor, that you'll have time to recover. But you can also work with people like these folks who can help you consolidate so that you're being strategic about paying off as quick as you can, because that will make a difference too for you.
I've always heard that if you have multiple credit cards and you're wanting to get rid of some, that it's actually bad to close those credit cards out. And so what advice do you have with that?
It can hit your score a little bit. But on the flip side, it could be beneficial to you, because if you've got those cards, a gas card and a store card and all different types of cards, if they sit for several years, even if you don't use it, that opens you up for identity theft that you may not even be aware of. If you don't even know where the old Chevron card is, then you may not know if something's going on in your account. I would say that if you're not using the cards, it would be worth card that you may take a little bit of a hit on the credit score, but again, the next month by paying a bill on time, it could raise your score right back up.
Or put them in a lock box that you know exactly where they are till you get that paid down, till you get all your current bills, all your bills are current, they're all paid off, and then close them yourself.
Yeah, close them before the creditor closes them.
If you put them in a lock box for 2 years and the creditor closes them, it's not going to look as good as if you close them.
Okay.
So if you... And what you were talking about is that ratio that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. If you paid off, let's say you paid off the one that you owed the most on. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say, no, the one you owe the less on first, but it was your largest credit line, mm-hmm. and you close that, then you're getting those ratios off of what you owe versus your line of credit.
Right.
So that's why it can be dangerous to your score that way. But if you... Like I say, if you lock them up till you get all those paid off, and then now I'm not going to do this again, so now I can pull those out and I can call and close them, then that's a good way to do it.
It seems like for students there's two issues, and one is like improving your score for an immediate purchase. Like, mm-hmm. And if you're not, so what should be if like you're just going to buy a car or buy a house or something immediately, but if you're not doing that, I don't think you have to be worried about all of this technical, like,
right.
manual. I think probably if you all would agree, like keeping it as simple as possible, mm-hmm. and I think students, you're at greater risk for identity theft than like the small nuance that might make in a change in your, because most in your score, because at this point in your life, you're not going to have a line of credit. You know, you're not earning your full salary. You will when you have a career. You don't own a house probably. And your life's pretty simple, and that's great.
Yes. Enjoy it while you can.
This is a perfect time to start some good practices. And I wouldn't get too, I mean, this is just Amy's advice for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get too worried about, like, oh, it's going to go down or up a teeny bit. I think the bigger thing is to look at what can you afford, and are you living with what you can afford? And if you're not, if you have a lot of credit card debt already, sitting down with someone who can help you figure out how to manage that.
And that's exactly right. You know, I have girls in college too, and that's pretty much where I talk to them. Try to save for the things you want. Postpone getting into a lot of credit card debt, if at all possible, because you're already looking at some stuff with school loans if you've got those. So, and like I said too earlier, and what Amy's just talking about, you do things every day that's going to move your score up and down. The best thing I can do in is keeping it as simple as possible is just pay all those bills on time every time. That is like the biggest thing, mm-hmm. is paying your bills on time every time, not getting some black marks because, oh, I didn't think about that rent payment, so I didn't, you know, here it is 10 days late. You know, get yourself a calendar. Make sure you're paying everything on time every time.
Yes. You said it was not a good idea to increase your credit on your credit card.
The credit line?
Yeah. What if, like, I have a credit card and my limit's like $500 on it, mm-hmm. and my computer broke a few months ago and I needed another one fast, but mm-hmm. It was like $530, mm-hmm. and I couldn't put it on one credit card because that's all I could do. I mean, is that really such a bad thing?
What I'm talking about is when they just out of the blue say, we've increased your credit line.
Uh-oh.
You can call them up and say, no, I don't want that credit line increased.
And it's sometimes like as much as doubling it.
Yes.
All of a sudden they'll just tell you, oh, it was 5,000, now it's 10.
Yeah. Her particular situation would...
Well, I understand. I was in college not too long ago. I finished school in 07, and so I know when you are in school, if something like that happens, it's considered an emergency. Best advice would be to, you know, pay cash for as much as you could. Let's say if the computer was $530, if you could have paid for like $200 of it and put the rest on the card. If worst case scenario, you know, you did have to put it all on the card, I would ask them to increase the limit only enough to cover it. Maybe a little bit more, maybe up to $600. You never want to get very close to your limit, though, because if you're, you know, one day late or if you just happen to go over that limit, they're going to hit you with a $39 fee for being over your limit. So, you know, if you needed to in that case, but once you know that you have that amount on the card, make it a priority to repay it. and go down as much as you can.
Another thing that I would suggest doing is start, if you can, I know where you are right now, this is really hard to do, but if you can put a few dollars each week into an account that you start building an emergency fund.
Oh, even if it's $5.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Really. So that gives you that buffer when something like that comes along. And I know that when you're taking out student loans to live and all that, that's really difficult to think about doing. But if you go, okay, I can go without this Coke today and that Coke tomorrow, and maybe this latte the next day, and maybe I have $5 then I can put in an account, and just let it build up for you.
Well, that my credit cards are paid by my parents. I don't use them for really
anything but emergencies.
Yeah, but my dad wanted me to put the computer on the credit card, but I couldn't.
The credit card in his name?
They're both in my name, but they pay them.
Are they in his name and your name, or his or your name alone?
They're both in my name.
Okay.
Well, I think part of why, I mean, and I don't want to go against what you're saying, but when a major purchase like that, I mean, if I were your parent, I would also want it on a credit card, because just dealing, like, if you got it at Best Buy or somewhere, does seem feel like you have some additional assurance through the credit card company with a purchase like that. Especially if you don't have to worry about paying it off. I mean, you've got the best bank. The bank of mom and dad.
And the thing is, too, is I remember hearing you say a little while ago, you're from Weatherford, it's not too far away. You know, maybe, you know, it's like run home real quick and let mom and dad buy it on one of their other cards that has a higher credit line. If they're paying it anyway, it doesn't matter to them which card they pay it on, you know, so that might be another opt-out.
If your cards are in your name but somebody else pays them, does that reflect on your report?
Yes.
If they were to say your mom and dad were paying it and they missed a payment, that would show up on your report.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is,
the company doesn't care who gives the money.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
It's just the debt's getting paid and getting paid on time.
So if they're paying them on time now, then that's probably helping to build your score.
Now, the reason I asked about your name or their name, the one thing is if they had a card and they added you to their card and gave you a card with your name on it, that doesn't build your credit history. That's building theirs still. But if it was opened up by you in your name, but they're paying it, then that's building credit for you. But if it's their card and you're just a card holder on it, then that doesn't build your credit history.
I had a question about bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
When I started college, I opened up a joint college account with my mom that Wells Fargo offers, and it comes with a checking and a savings account. And we eventually just had to close the savings account because initially I didn't have all that much money in it. And they do this thing where they automatically take out $25 every month to put in your savings account.
Yeah.
And we kept telling them, stop doing that. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't. Like, they would say, I had to personally go there 4 times and tell them, and they still wouldn't. So then we closed
it. It was the type of account that it was.
Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't. They said that it would stop, but they didn't. But, like, do you think all my money is in my checking account now? And I could reopen a savings account, but does it matter at this? I mean, I don't have that much money.
It just is, again, to put something aside that you have for emergencies.
Yeah, you know, if it's in the checking account,
it's going to get spent.
You know, the temptation's there to spend it. Oh, I can replace it later. But if it's a little bit harder to get to, then, like, if you have it in a savings account, where you don't have a debit card linked to it, where you would actually physically have to go to the bank and ask to get the money out, well, that makes you think twice before spending it. So I would keep, you know, your saving portion separate. Even if you keep it in a shoebox in the top of the closet, that's probably better because it makes you have to think about what you're doing before. But keep it in, you know, a little bit separate for emergencies.
Good question, John.
I'm
asking good questions.
One last question. If someone were interested in your services, they're free, right?
Some, yes.
Okay, tell us how that works.
Well, it depends on what type of service. I know a lot of your education types are, this is your degree. What I do is budget counseling. I sit down with the clients, look over their income versus their expenses, and also any type of debts that they have. Typically, there's a fee for that service. For college students, it's $15, and that covers 3 months of counseling.
That's a super deal. Yeah, that is a great deal.
I love money. You know, I went to school for it. That's what I love to do. But a lot of my college friends said, I need help. I want to do a budget. I just don't know how. And I love that. I do a budget still for my old college roommates. And so I really like to do that. It's $15, and we can sit down and, you know, as many times as we needed to talk for 3 months. And that would cover that. We offer a debt management plan. There's some additional fees for that. But just the basic budget counseling would be, you know, very beneficial. Maybe for your parents, even, if they have any housing issues, or friends, family friends, we offer housing counseling, and those sessions are free as well.
There's some information up there that we brought that you're welcome to take, and you can actually have some for your office if you'd like
wonderful.
To. I can come out and do other education stuff
good.
For you, and we can talk about that if you'd like to. As far as the budget counseling sessions, we can do a face-to-face. Anna does a lot of face-to-face ones,
mm-hmm.
or they can be done over the phone. So I know how busy college students are. You can even get started online, putting some of that information that she would want to go over with you. You can put some of that in online, and then you can pick up on the phone or face-to-face, either way.
And I do a lot by email. I mean, email's a great way to communicate. So I know a lot of students communicate that way.
We need to start texting.
Yeah.
that's when we get into debt trouble.
Let's get an unlimited plan.
That's what I got with my girls. I've kind of talked to them a whole lot more now that I have unlimited.
But students do get in trouble with cell phone plans.
Yes.
And that's a big area, especially if you're looking at saving money. It's definitely an area for a lot of choice.
And cell phones are real big about reporting to the credit bureaus,
too. They do. That's one of the first things that shows up when you pull a credit report. If you go a while without paying it, it shows up, in the first couple of pages as a bad debt. So, and they will report. They'll work with you, though. If you do fall behind, they will work with you, set up a payment plan. Most of them will. So. The main thing, I think, main goal is just to actually get started with the budget. Because things are going to change, when you get out of school. You'll get a job and have that income, and it seems like a lot at first, but then life hits. The main goal is just actually every single month, this is a perfect time to do it. We just started a new month. Just look at what your income is right now, whether it's big or small, and just budget. Here's what I have coming in, here's what I need to pay this month, and prioritize it. Pay the most important things first, and then go down the list. Once you develop those habits, it'll really pay off for you when you do get those full-time jobs.
And I know we're kind of starting to get in more into budgeting and stuff like that, and that's great. Another thing is knowing exactly what you're spending sometimes is a big thing. Tracking your expenses and knowing where your money's really going. That works hand-in-hand with your budget. And I know that can really get away from you fast.
Vending machines. When I was in college, in between classes, a Coke and M&M's would spend $10 or $12 a week, and I thought, gosh, I'm spending $30-$40 a month on snacks. That's a lot of money. That pays it to have a cell phone bill anywhere. Just tracking what where you spend your money.
Did you guys have any last questions?
My cards are up there if you do have some other questions. And I think Anna's got her cards here, too. So, if you want to take our cards and you think of some other questions, please, go ahead and call us. That's what we're here for.